Joining the Capital Ag News Network inside the barn at this time is Capital Wheat Communications Director Madison Anderson. We'll be discussing important issues impacting Capital's wheat farmers and the industry itself. Madison, welcome back inside the barn once again. 2020 has certainly been a very challenging year with the current COVID-19 situation that never seems to end. Speaking of never ending, the prolonged drought we've been in and the dismal wheat harvest thanks to the pesky wheat stem sawfly. And of course, it is fall, so everybody's getting their planting done. What does the planting look like right now?
Yes. So thank you for having me, first of all, Brian, and what you touched on there. Yeah, 2020 has been a challenging year in ag, and especially wheat. On top of coronavirus, like you said, the wheat stem sawfly is continuing and almost seems to be growing into more and more of an issue as it spreads further south in the state. And the drought. Yeah, I think last I looked at the drought monitor, 100% of the state was in some kind of drought. So it's been tough. But right now, thankfully, we got that snow right after Labor Day, and that helped. It's obviously not enough to sustain the crop, but it helped with planting. So right now, we're at about, as of yesterday's USDA report, we are 66% planted. And I can't remember off the top of my head, I believe we're at 19% emerged. So crop is coming up.
Most of the dryland wheat around here has been planted and it is up, so it has emerged. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of guys wrapping up. But I'm sure a lot of guys were looking at solid stem or semi-solid stem varieties this fall, and hopefully there was enough to fill the orders. I was wondering if there was enough of it out there, because I think we're moving – at least here, to a process that may be looking at semi-solid stem to try to alleviate this wheat stem sawfly. I just wish we could – it's as persistent as the COVID deal right now.
It is. You got to give – I mean, as annoying as they are, you got to give them credit. They're persistent, and they make things work. But, yes, solid stem, semi-solid stem. So we're trying with – we do – Plains Gold has Fortify SF out. Like you said, though, there's probably – we still need to work to get more out there. We're working with CSU at their wheat breeding program to get more options for our wheat producers here.
Yeah, let's hope there's enough in the pipeline to get those orders filled. And I hope that everybody at least took advantage of it, because I saw some video that was pretty obvious of solid stem or semi-solid stem versus just standard wheat in wheat fields at harvest time. And it was stark difference of what they went after. They even went, some guys went around the field with one round or two rounds of solid stem and then inside planted the other varieties. And those little suckers went past the two rolls at two rounds, and they went in and got the other stuff and laid them down like a bunch of lumberjacks. But anyway, there is some potential good news. As of September 21st, USDA opened up a second sign-up for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, or CFAP 2, as it's called, which this time will include all classes of wheat, which is something the Cooperative Associated Wheat Growers has advocated for since April of this year. Right, Madison?
Yes, that is correct. So in April, which I feel like April was 5 years ago at this point, but we've been advocating for CFAP 2. When it was first announced, back in April, not all classes of wheat were included. So hard red winter wheat, hard white winter wheat, which is mostly what's grown here in Colorado, was not included. So we've worked with our partners at the National Association of Wheat Growers. We're a member state with them. And I want to give a huge shout out to the NOG staff for all their hard work, and especially lobbying now in this COVID world when things aren't normal either. They're still finding ways to make things work and get meetings set up. So I want to thank them for that. Also want to thank Senators Bennett and Gardner here in Colorado, as well as Congressman Buck. They signed on to some letters to USDA for us, helping us get all classes of wheat included in the program. So we were so thankful for that. Like we said, on top of the rough year as with drought and sawfly, the tumbling prices with coronavirus, we knew our farmers needed some help. So we're thankful for that and thankful we could get some put in place.
Now, within your guys' press release making the announcement that you supported the CFAP 2 inclusion of all the wheat classes, it was also announced that potentially it could inject $28.5 million into the Capital Wheat economy. Of course, according to your guys' figures, it was based on the USDA and the NESS's estimated 1.9 million planted acres in the state in the fall of 2019, which would be the 2020 crop year that got devastated by the sawfly. And if all cover wheat farmers were to sign up and receive payments. So that is some potentially good news. Explain the specifics, yes, though, of the CFAP 2, Madison, and what do wheat producers need to do to get signed up, and how much might they expect to receive in a CFAP 2 payment on a per bushel rate, if that's possible?
Okay, so from my understanding of it, the formula is there's two different scenarios. So the first one would be eligible acres are multiplied by $15 an acre, or eligible acres are multiplied by the nationwide crop marketing percentage, which is 73% for all classes of wheat, multiplied crop specific payment rate, which is 54 cents for all classes of wheat, multiplied by the producer's weighted 2020 APH approved yield. And if the APH is not available, 85% of the weighted 2019 ARC County benchmark yield. So of those two scenarios, whichever one is the higher amount is what the farmer would receive. So that's kind of hard to explain here. I'm a visual learner, so I will throw out, if NOG put together a fact sheet, and I have it posted in our press release on coloradowheat.org on the news page. And the fact sheet kind of does a better job of breaking that down. If they give two different examples of how it would work.
Well, we'll share that. If I'll pull that and put that alongside this interview so folks can see it. What's the best way then for wheat producers or any eligible ag producer to get signed up between now and, I guess, the end deadline is December 11th?
Correct. So, if you visit farmers.gov/CFAP/apply, there's some information there, or even just contacting your local county FSA office is probably the best way to sign up for the program. That's what I've been telling our members so far.
And while you're at farmers.gov, by the way, tomorrow, September 30th, is the deadline to update your PLC yields if you're eligible. And it's kind of like what you just mentioned there. If your PLC update isn't as much as you've got in there right now, they'll use the higher one. So that's kind of the same situation, which is good, versus CFAP 1 and some of the other programs the USDA come out with and the formulas they used. This seems to be a little bit more beneficial for producers than
yes,
the anti-soybean farmers. Let's just put it that way. Oh, yes. By the way, speaking of CFAP 2, CSU Extension has teamed up with FSA Colorado, and on Tuesday, October 6th, from 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening, they'll be hosting a CFAP 2 webinar, and they'll go through the mechanics of CFAP 2, including sign-up procedures and required documents, managing EIDL and PPP programs, livestock forest disaster program, as well as ARC and PLC choices for the 2021 crop year. You can get registered at a Zoom link, which is posted online inside the barn, and you'll get a confirmation email, contains the information on how to join it. Keep in mind, that webinar that CSU Extension and FSA is putting on is free, but it is limited to the first 500. And I've got a feeling that those spots are going to fill up quick. So get registered right away. If you want more information, contact Brent Young at CSU Extension out of Logan County, 970-580-2204, or simply email brent.young@colostate.edu. Madison, besides CFAP 2 and the other things we've talked about, any other issues or topics or maybe final thoughts you wanted to mention from either the Colorado Association of Wheat Growers, the Colorado Wheat Administrative Committee, or the Colorado Wheat Research Foundation that we might have missed?
Yeah, so I just want to wish everyone the best. I know finishing up planting, some are already done. Wish everyone the best and that you have a safe season. Pray for rain. Pray for rain. Pray for snow this winter. We desperately need that moisture. I'll also throw out, too, the work that was done to lobby for CFAP 2 was done through the Colorado Association of Wheat Growers. That's a membership organization. We have to have membership dues in order to do that. So if you're a wheat farmer and you're not a member of COG, please, please, I highly encourage you to become a member. Reach out to our office and we can get you signed up. It's $125 a year. And you also receive some other benefits when you become a member. So we're also kind of working on some stuff with the upcoming election. We worked on some ballot initiative or ballot measures. And taking some positions on those, and we'll be releasing those here soon. So,
hope to see that pretty quick, because, yeah, membership's important, and the election is very important. And make sure you get registered to vote. The mail-in ballots will be coming in the mail pretty quick. In fact, right beside me here, we got the Blue Book, which you probably can't see until I put it in front of me.
There you go.
Virtual background. Blue
Book. Yeah, I was blending in with your background.
11 ballot measures, and then the back of it is full of judicial appointments, which those always confuse me. Anyway, get your Blue Book. Make sure you're educated so you can be educated when you go to the polls or fill out your mail-in ballot. Once again, thanks to my guest, Madison Anderson, Communication Director at Colorado Wheat. You can learn more online at coloradowheat.org about the three organizations and become a member. And also follow the organization on Facebook and Twitter feeds, too. Thanks, Madison. Yes. Much appreciated.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Brian.